2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
How do you disconnect or turn off the water to a sprinkling system?
It's different with every system. Some people get the connection installed when they get their house built, so their valve is actually down in the basement. Some people have what's called a stop and waste valve out by their meter. They turn that off and it shuts the water off. Just depends really on who installed the system and how it was planned out.
However water feeds into your sprinkling system, it has to be turned off first.
Yes.
Now, the next step was to actually run your sprinkling system with no water going into it. What's the purpose behind this?
It allows the pipes to depressurize, and just opening up the heads, especially if you've got a low spot in your yard where all the water, you know, will run through the pipes, make its way to anyway, it allows the lines to just start to drain out by gravity, just pulling the water through.
How long should they run each station on the sprinkling system?
Just a few minutes. So if you have the ability to do it, you just set your controller to run 5 minutes per station and just let it run through a full cycle that way. Or some people, they just let their clock run through a watering cycle as if it were actually watering.
You mentioned that many sprinkling systems have some sorts of drains that can be opened up at the ends of the lines.
Like in my house, I have a mainline drain in my basement, so I can open up a valve on the top and I open up the little spigot in the basement, put a bucket under it, and it'll drain all of the water out of the system that way. Some people don't have that luxury. They've got drains at the end of their main lines or at the end of their lateral lines that they need to open up either with pliers or with a sprinkler key or something like that.
The next step is to actually blow out the sprinkler lines. And how do you do that?
Somewhere in the sprinkler system, there is a place to connect an air compressor. It would have a fitting either for a larger air compressor or something that looks very much like a valve stem or air hose connection or something. And you hook an air compressor up to there, and then you just start running your sprinklers on a manual cycle, or you go around and open the valves up one at a time until the heads are blown out.
How do you know that a line has had enough air run through it to have most of the water blown out?
When the sprinkler heads are blowing mist, they're ready to be shut off.
Do you have any other recommendations on maintaining the sprinkling system in the fall?
If you're going to do it yourself, I would recommend a bigger air compressor over a little one, just because of the wear and tear on the air compressor and the cycle, the on-off cycling. Other than that, it's helpful to make sure everything works before you put it to bed for the winter.
So what size air compressor for, let's say somebody has just an average, you know, fifth acre to quarter acre home, what size air compressor would you recommend?
Minimum of 30 gallons.
Justin, thank you again for your time. It's greatly appreciated.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Smartin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.